You are listening to WRCE 1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.
Start your day off on the right foot with great local programming on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE.
Welcome to our morning show, WRCO, WRCE. We're here to talk with our old buddy Chuck Keller, who's here to talk about, well, he's wearing a few hats today, but it's that time of year again for the Cazenovia Turkey Busters Fishery. How are you, Chuck?
Doing great, and I want to thank you and Civic Media for allowing us the time to celebrate our 25th annual Cazenovia Turkey Buster Fishery.
25th? Were you there at the first one?
Yes.
Okay. So you're an experienced man coming in here to talk about it today.
Well, that's one way to describe it. And our organization, we've been doing this for 25 years, and it's about the same group of people. There's a lot of consistency, and it's just a great event.
Now, what about the ice on Lee Lake? Is that an issue?
Well, you know, in 25 years, we've seen just about every condition possible. And in there, we also had a global pandemic to deal with. But yeah, the ice is a concern. And members of our executive committee went out and checked out the lake Sunday. And they reported that the ice looks good. About 9 to 12 inches of ice everywhere they checked. When you're dealing with ice, it's never safe, all right? Anytime you go on a frozen body of water, it's never 100% safe. So you always have to be use precaution. They reported that the ice is solid, except for a couple areas. And the Lee Lake in Cazenovia is a flowage. Water flows in, water flows out. So in areas where the water flows in, the warm water, it's not as safe. And right by the dam where the water flows out, not quite so safe. But other areas we found to be very good. So because of that, we are hosting our fishing tournament. And we were always going to have our raffles and things like that. But many organizations have had to close down the fishing side of it. And, you know, things could change between now and then. But we're pretty confident. There's one area underneath the bridge in Cazenovia that historically has always been kind of the last to freeze. So we're going to advise people not to go in that area. You know, some of our shoreline is riprapped rocks. You know, southern exposure, the sun hits the rocks, warms things up. You know, you just got to be careful. So we've got a plan in place where we're going to guide people, so to speak, not physically guide them, but give them advice. And so if you're familiar with our lake, a lot of people have been out pre-fishing. They already know these things. If you're new to the lake, stop by the fishery headquarters. You know, somebody from the Turkey Busters will give you some guidance on where to go and things to look out for.
I think it's supposed to be cold again the next couple of nights. We're supposed to get some snow. So I think you're going to be all right, Chuck, for Saturday.
Yeah, we're pretty confident. And like I said, safety is 100%. You know, we always consider that first, and we always the least common denominator. You know, we have a lot of experienced fishing people out there, and then we have some people that come just to fish once a year with us, and just to make sure that we're taking everybody into consideration is huge for us. But yeah, it's a great event. And you know, I've been out fishing with my son. A lot of other people have been out fishing it just to check, and the fishing's good this year.
I bet it is. So what are the categories for prizes?
Well, so thanks for asking. First prize, largest game fish, is $100. And there's some other fish in the lake other than game fish. You know, they call them rough fish. And one year we had somebody catch a really large rough fish through the ice, and that won it. And we thought, well, okay, we changed it to game fish. So the biggest game fish, $1,000. And then there's prizes by category, and that would be like the panfish categories. And then what we're known for is kids prizes. And, you know, it's really a kids event disguised in an adult activity. And any kid that comes and registers a fish, you know, there's a good chance they're going to receive some type of a prize. It's all about that next generation, you know, getting them going. So Lee Lake in Cazenovia is a huge numbers lake, a lot of panfish. And so there's a lot of kids prizes as well. So, yeah, how it works, it's pretty easy. Come to the lake. We officially start at 8 o'clock. If people get on the ice and start catching fish early, go ahead. You know, we'll be there at 8 o'clock to start registering them. You catch a fish that's a legal fish, and I'll explain legal and not legal a little bit later if you'll allow me. Mm-hmm. But so they bring it up to our fishery headquarters, and we have a partner in the Weston baseball team. So we have kids, older kids mentoring, you know, and young kids will bring it, adults will bring it, and they do just a great job. And it's a part of their community service, you know, and giving back to the community. So they register the fish. We have adult mentors that are there to supervise that. You just bring the fish up. They weigh it. You get to keep the fish, and then at 3 o'clock you come, and if you have the big fish, you get the prizes.
Ah, awesome! I'm guessing now that you've been around 25 years, some of the kids that won prizes in some of those early years, they're back and adults, and maybe bringing their own kids now, right?
Yes, they are, and that's what's just so neat to see. It's you know, it's an excellent fishing tournament. We have trophy fish in there. Believe it or not, Lee Lake is a trophy walleye lake. And so there's a lot of large fish in there, a lot of small fish. And every year, people just come back year after year. It's, I don't know if we can use the word institutionalized anymore, but I will, because, it, you know, people reach out to us and say, hey, planning our vacations for next year. When is, you know, is this fishery the same weekend? You know, they just want to know. Not a lot of stuff going on. You know, and this time of year, this kind of in the doldrums, and gosh, it's just, it's a great fishing event, but it's also just a great social event for people to come out as well.
Yeah, the first vacation weekend of the year, perhaps, for some people, too, right?
Yes, it is. And so, you know, so yeah, it's fishing, it's social, and it's affordable. To get into the program, to get to... cost you $2. We haven't raised our rates in 25 years. And so you come, you buy a raffle ticket, which gets you in for the main prizes. You bring your fish up, you register them. But yeah, so it's $2 entry fee, and we haven't raised that in 25 years.
I'm guessing you have sponsors as a result. That's why you haven't raised, right?
Well.
Or how do you do it?
We're kind of a grassroots organic organization, I guess. You know, we started over 30 years ago and never really planned to be all of this, turkey busters and things like that. But we've just grown, and people have supported us along the way. And so raffle tickets are the main way that we fundraise. And we try to keep things very affordable. Like I said, the main ticket, $2, book of three for $5. Haven't raised that in 25 years. It gets you seven main prizes, a couple of shotguns, some really nice turkey decoys, some turkey blinds, and then there's always a cash option as well. Now, partners have helped to donate those things, and that's the main ticket. You do not need to be present. You can pre-buy those tickets. But then also the day of the celebration, the tournament, we have multiple door prizes. So you buy your main ticket, and there's two stubs. One goes in for the main prize, and then there's one that lists the prizes and has your number on it. And people who are there that day can write their name on the back of the ticket and put it in for door prizes. And we are so blessed to have so many businesses, and for me to try to name them all right now, I couldn't, because it would take too much time. But everybody, year after year, the businesses just support us, and it's just so amazing. And in fact, when we first started out, we kind of solicited, we went out and asked, and the support was so great that we've kind of stepped back from that. And people reach out to us, you know, hey, you know, they see a member, you know, we have life, 25-year-long relationships with many of these people. Hey, I got your stuff for you. Oh, okay. And so all sorts of door prizes, outdoor related, household related. There's just a genre for any person who wants to come and have some fun.
Talk about fish and what's legal and what's not.
Oh, okay, great. Well, so we are in the fishing regulations. We're in Richland County, of course, and it's the only navigable lake. And if Marty Richards is listening, he'll laugh at me for the way I say that. But
so it's Richland County's only lake, right?
Yeah. And so if you look at the general inland regulations, you can keep two northern pike, but they have to be at least 26 inches long. A bass, famous for bass, limit 14 inches, of course, and the panfish are all lumped into one category, 25 inches, and that's your perch, your crappie, your bluegill. Now, walleye, like I said, Lee Lake is a trophy walleye lake, and the reason it is the Kaz Turkey Busters and partners with other organizations to stock larger walleye into that lake. And so you can only keep three walleye, and they have to be at least 18 inches long. Now, another thing, there's trout in Lee Lake. And unfortunately, you can catch them, but it's an immediate release. It's so if you catch a trout, you can take a picture, but you have to put it back in the hole. So that's not a legal fish to register, and I just want to make sure everybody knows about that. If you catch a 17-inch walleye, you can't bring that up. You got to take a picture and put it back in the water immediately. And we have signs, we have information out there, but just so everybody knows, we want to make sure everybody's safe and legal out there.
Okay. Yeah. Lots of fish in Lee Lake. And I think that, I mean, it's always been, I went there with my dad. I have fond memories of fishing in Lee Lake as a little guy. And my sister and I, you know, on the farm, you didn't get very many vacations. Mm-hmm. But you could go for a half day to Casanova and go fishing. We did that quite often. But over the years, you've stocked more and more. So it seems like there are more opportunities now than there used to be.
Yeah. You know, that's exactly right. We have basically three fundamentals. We're a conservation club. That's how we got our start. We're a community action club, civic club, and then we also mentor the next generation or the kids. So, you know, conservation, community, and kids. So anytime that we can do something that matches all three, you know, that's just a win-win-win in our book. So our point of emphasis is the Casanova Park. So any money that we generate goes right back into the community. And you'll see evidence of that. In the summertime, there's a fishing pier. And there's some nice benches, the boat landing, the other docks and different things. Now, we don't do it ourselves. You know, we're kind of like an instigator, so to speak. You know, somebody has a really good idea, don't know how to start it out. They approach the village, of course, because you have to get their approval. And then a lot of times they'll come and see us. And hey, we either know somebody or we have some experience. You know, we have a lot of active members and somebody has some experience. And we kind of organize and help. Sometimes they have resources, but they don't know how to do that. So they'll donate to us. And so a lot of the things that I just mentioned are in partnership with others. Summertime, baseball, softball, different things at the park. You know, Kaz Park is just, they have the Kaz Reds, you know, and a lot of Little League going on. So all of those types of things really support all of that.
And Weston uses it for baseball and softball as well.
Yes, they do. And they appreciate it to the point where they give back. And then, you know, they do something pretty unique as well. They have a 50-50 raffle. And so they get to fundraise at our event as well. And we've got some alumni that are pretty tall and have a pretty long wingspan, and they usually come back to our fishery and donate their service. So if somebody, and I don't know what the cost is, but if you pay so much, you get a wingspan. And Weston Baseball, they're very appreciative to the community for you know, supporting them, and we're appreciative because they're earning and they're learning and they're supporting their own way through.
Do you have other fundraisers during the year then, Chuck, for the fishery or for the turkey busters? This is kind of the big event then, huh?
This is it, and it sets our budget, you know, and our goal is to give 100% back. In fact, members have to pay a fee or a dues every year to be a member. So we donate our time, we pay our money to serve our community.
That's awesome. Give us the times again on Saturday.
Sure. So it's Saturday, February 17th. It officially begins at 8 o'clock. That's when the registration station headquarters come, buy your raffle tickets. You fish till 3 o'clock. Everything starts shutting down at 3 o'clock, and then there's a progression. We have our main raffle. We also have all sorts of side raffles and where people can buy more tickets. And when we talk about our businesses, the support we get, the high-end prizes we get, we're known for the excellent quality of our prizes. And so they do that. So, yeah, by 3:30, most everybody's, you know, going home, and we have concessions. We don't like making change. Most of us want to, well, anyway, so most everything's $2, $1.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so brat, $2, hot dog, $1, and, you know, adult beverage is $2, soda's $1.
People can throw in more if they want.
Sure,
well.
You know, but, sure. You know, so really, a person can have a $5 bill, register for, get a brat and get a soda and go home happy.
Where can you say that? I mean, that's cheap.
Well, I think in the 25 years we raised our prices one time, and we just had to.
For your food, yeah.
Yeah, and, you know, we're getting close now. It's we may have to do it in the future, but like I said, our budget is based on donations, and our main... we try to make everybody happy, everybody affordable. Those who can donate more or give more, you know, they can do it through the different raffle tickets and those types of things. If you want to know where to get them, you know, stop by the day of the event. And then, but some people, you know, busy, whatever, you know, a lot of sports going on right now. So Kaz Businesses, Salt Weedle Store, Alibi's, Boston's Bar, Monpa's Pit Stop, you know, you can get them there. Hub City Turbos has always been a good place to buy them. Laval, there's Wegg's Bait Shop, Fishies. So there's a lot of different places you can buy them in advance. Any of the main prizes, you do not need to be there. Any of the door prizes, you know, you have to be present to win.
The title is the Kaz Turkey Busters. Give us a little history of the organization. Then how does turkey fit in the title?
Well, that's how we began. Like I said, we're a conservation club and a group of people. Well, Wisconsin didn't have a turkey season when we were younger. And national organizations, the state of Wisconsin, helped restock turkey. And it was right about the time of my formative years. And so we started, a group of us started hunting, and we found that if you have a small parcel of land, you may not be successful because turkeys wander, you know. And so we found out we had to go ask permission and do different things. So to honor the landowners that allowed us permission, we harvested birds and we saved them. And then Father's Day weekend, we started an event where people would come. It started out at a person's yard, actually, at a house. And then it grew big enough, we went to the Casanova Park. And so we'd cook turkey and share it with all the people and just made a big event out of it. And pretty soon we just kept doing more and more. And the next thing you know, we became the Kaz Turkey Busters. And a few years later, we decided, hey, you know, maybe we can do more. And all a bunch of people, servant-led. You know, never want credit individually. You know, we're all proud of what we do, but it's always the turkey busters in general. It's never the individual.
You got a great community there, and I see it lots of times firsthand when I go to a Reds game in the summer. And win, lose, or draw, the Reds are the best draw in home talent baseball. I don't know if anybody gets a bigger crowd than they do. Pretty amazing, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. You know, and that's there's representative from the Reds.
Yep.
On Earth. And so it's just, if you're going to have a community, you have to invest in your community. And so we do what we can, you know, and there were people before us, you know, when I was, you know, growing up, younger years, there's always these people in our community that everybody looked up to because they were the driving force of keeping the community strong. And they had different organizations. Those kind of phased out. We phased in. You know, there'll be a time when we phase out, and there'll be something else that takes our place. But if you always keep regenerating, and you always keep that theme of your community is important. You know, believing in your community, believe in Kaz. You know, and that's just so important.
You'll be warming up the water for the Polar Plunge, which is right around the corner as well, Chuck.
Yeah, the week after us, and that's another great organization, and I'll let them tell their own story, but it's not a competition. We work in partnership with them. Certain things that we can, infrastructure things that we can help with those. We sponsor people all the time, you know. So, yeah, just a great opportunity. So you have people coming, you know, on the 17th for our event, and then the following week you come for their event, and just a great time in Northern Richland County.
It definitely is. Anything else you'd like to add about this weekend, Chuck?
I appreciate getting the word out. If people, you know, we're on the Facebook. That's our general way of getting things out. Marty Richards over at Greater Richland Tourism, they help spread the word out for us. But if something happens, we'll make sure that we get the word out to let people. But, I think everything's going to be great. Oh, one thing I do want to mention is you cannot drive on the ice. you don't think you have to say that, but some years you can. So we're asking people to leave their ATVs, UTVs home, park. If the parking's a little tight by us, you know, go up by the baseball diamond. We're going to open up parking up there. Make sure that you're not thinking about driving on the ice this time. It's going to be walking in, walking off, and that's just for the safety of everybody.
There was a state story this morning that I read. It was northern Wisconsin, but someone lost a really expensive ATV and all the fishing gear. Just the fish are enjoying it now, so got to be careful.
And if you're not sure, stop by the headquarters and ask. You know, somebody's going to be able to take you to a spot. Now, we won't tell you where to fish, you know, but we'll show you an area, and then you get to choose that. But, yeah, we'll show you where the safe areas are and if there's some places that aren't. But safety is number one. And having a good time, being responsible, you know, respecting everybody. It's a fishing competition, but let's all have fun. You know, let's just have a good time and enjoy the outdoors, enjoy the beautiful Lee Lake.
You have a commemorative T-shirt, do you?
Well, yes, and we have one for you here today.
Oh, you do?
Yeah.
Look at that.
25th annual Casanova Turkey Buster. So it's 25 years. We wanted to make things a little bit special. So sprinkled out throughout the day, there's going to be some special surprises that you have to be there to find out about it. But we're going all out. And so Checkered Flag helps us each year, and so they help design this. Semi-collectible.
Looks nice.
Yeah.
So. It's almost St. Patrick's colors there a little bit,
yeah,
maybe.
Yeah, it's our logo, and it's outdoor colors. There's going to be the forest green, or there's a gray, and it shows our logo with the flying turkey on it. And, we appreciate you, and we want to give you that as a gift. And anybody, like I said, there's limited edition, so there's only a few of them. When they're gone, they're gone, so get there early.
Awesome. Thank you. I'm privileged to have one here in my possession. Mm-hmm. Looks like it might even be my size, too.
Yeah. Well, we may have done some research.
Chuck Keller, our guest. He wears lots of hats. He's going to come back and talk about his other part-time job with CESA. That's coming up on The Morning Show. We'll be right back. Chuck Keller is in the studio with us. Today we switch gears and talk about CISA 3, his other job, hobby job, right? You've had quite success there, and boy, it's utilized by most of our area schools, isn't it?
Yes. I work at an organization called CISA, which is Cooperative Education Service Agency, and there's 12 of them throughout the state. And the one I work is CISA number 3, and it's based in Fenimore, and we have 31 schools in southwest Wisconsin. And the Richland County Schools, Vernon County Schools, Sauk County Schools of Weston and River Valley would be included in that. And basically what it is, it's a hub and spoke system. So Department of Public Instruction out of Madison has to get the word out to the schools. And instead of trying to disseminate it to 400 and however many schools there are, they do it regionally. And the same way with the Department of Workforce Development. And that's basically who I coordinate with, is the Department of Workforce Development for the Youth Apprenticeship Program. And the Youth Apprenticeship Program is an amazing program. And the participation rates have just grown. They've skyrocketed in the last few years.
Yeah, it seemed to, and you have a lot of businesses that go along with this, and I know one of them that comes to mind is the mechanics side of it. Tell us about what goes on there behind the scenes.
Sure. So the Youth Apprenticeship Program is based by different areas, what are called career clusters or pathways. And so what we try to do is work with students who are interested in a certain pathway and match them up with employers. And from time to time, a lot of my schools are small in rural. And so if you think about auto mechanics, to become an auto mechanic, you have to know hoist, you know, have to, how to put a car up on a hoist. A lot of our schools don't have them. And so how can a student become gain the knowledge or the passion if they can't do it? So area businesses decided, hey, you know what? We have hoists. So what happens if we bring students in and teach them the safety and the in partnership with the school districts, don't get me wrong, but if the school district can offer it. And so we started a program locally here in Richland Center. Mark Philbeck has one. So on Wednesday nights, area students go to Mark's shop. Todd Knuth is one of his master certified technicians. He teaches curriculum that is the same exact curriculum that a student would have at their first year of Southwest Tech. And so the students learn, they get to explore, they get skills, and 3 college credits.
That's amazing. Yeah. You know, even if they choose not to go into that field, what a wonderful thing for life skills, though, Chuck.
Oh, gosh. And so they explore, right? Mm-hmm. And within the industry, within the career clusters, there's many pathways that a person can explore. So they start out with this, and maybe they find their lifelong dream, and maybe they find out it wasn't a good fit, but they find out in high school. And so they still have a time to change, you know, and alter. But maybe there's something else within that. Maybe they want to be the parts, or maybe they want to go into sales, or maybe they want to go into the finance section, or maybe they want to do whatever it is. And so kids get to go in and explore and find out what their passion is. And then along the way, we help them with what's called related instruction. So if you're going to be in the industry, you need skill. And like I said, with what Mark and Spanky Fulton does that up at Sleepy Hollow and other businesses, we've got 6 sites in southwest Wisconsin that do that for the auto academies.
What are some other areas, like work to school and different things like that you're involved in, Sean?
Sure. Well, school to work is the term, you know, how things progress. And school to work or work release was basically kids could get out of school to work. But that's what they were doing. They were working. And they weren't preparing for necessarily always preparing for a career. So the school to work has kind of morphed into work-based learning programs, and that's the buzzword. And we feel the best one is the Youth Apprenticeship Program. And so the requirement for the program is the student has to work at least 450 hours in the calendar year, and that year starts June 1st, kind of coincides with the school year. And then they have to take 2 classes or 2 semesters of what we call related instruction, meaning students have in schools, they look at their career pathways, what they want to explore, and then they take classes within that pathway. So now you're gaining knowledge, you're gaining expertise. Because if you're good at something and you have skill and you have passion, you're going to be successful. And so the kids that go through these programs with knowledge and with work experience.
Stay tuned for the second half of today's morning show program on Sunrise from the Center on WRCE. Coming up, though, in just a moment, we'll have a look at this.
And the Division III event at Mineral Point High School. Join Bill Twining, David Werman, Henry Bray, and yours truly, Phil Nee, for high school wrestling beginning at 10 o'clock Saturday morning on FM 100.9, WRCO.com, and on the Civic Media app.
WRCO 100.9 FM, Richland Center.
Good morning. It is 6:30. Time now for a news update sponsored by Bailey Paint and Decorating, your full-line Benjamin Moore dealer with quality paint and expert advice, and by Chet's Feed, Seed and Such, the friendly feed store. Today, a high of 44, tonight 28. Looks like some snow could range in there between midnight and 6 tomorrow morning. A winter weather advisory for Vernon, Richland, and Sauk counties for anywhere between an inch and maybe 2 to 4 inches in some parts of southwestern and western Wisconsin. Right now, we're at 21 degrees.
Hello, friends. Ellie here from Chet's. I don't know about your birds, but ours have been loving this winter of white snow and the crunch of Chet's delicious birdseed. Stop down and grab a bag of sunflower seeds and Chet's special. Suet cakes are buy 12, get one free. We even have corn and shell nuts for the squirrels, too. And as always, thank you for supporting our small business, because without you, there wouldn't be us.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Phil Nee. Here is what you need to know. Wisconsin's GOP-controlled Senate passed legislative maps that were proposed by Democratic Governor Tony Evers, a move that could ultimately prevent the liberal-controlled state Supreme Court from implementing maps even worse for Republicans. Evers said last week that he would sign the bill into law should the Republican-controlled legislature pass it. The measure passed by the Senate now heads to the Assembly, which was expected to pass it on Tuesday. Once approved there, it would go to Evers. Democratic senators tried to delay the vote, saying the measure should be subject to a public hearing first. The state legislature has passed a bill requiring the University of Wisconsin-Madison to admit all high school students who finish in the top 5% of their class. Other UW campuses would have to admit those in the top 10% under the bill passed on Tuesday. It was a part of a deal reached between the legislature and university that also limits diversity positions at the system's 24 campuses in exchange for money to cover staff raises and construction projects. A legislative committee gave final approval for the pay raises in December, and now a series of bills are working their way through the legislature, enacting other parts of the deal. The bill now heads to Governor Tony Evers. The Wisconsin State Assembly has approved a bill eliminating work permit requirements for more teenagers. Former Republican Governor Scott Walker signed a bill in 2017 that eliminated work permit requirements for 16 and 17-year-olds. The bill the Assembly approved Tuesday eliminates permit requirements for 14 and 15-year-olds. It doesn't change any state laws limiting hours minors can work. Supporters say the bill would help businesses hire much-needed workers faster. The Senate passed the measure in October. Democratic Governor Tony Evers will likely veto the proposal. However, he nixed a bill in 2022 that would have allowed 14 and 15-year-olds to work longer summer hours. Senator Tammy Baldwin has joined three of her colleagues in sending letters to the CEOs of the four biggest manufacturers of inhalers sold in the U.S., which charge between $200 and $600 for each inhaler, which is typically purchased monthly. A release from Baldwin's office says the same medication is available abroad for under $100. The release adds that over a half million people suffer from asthma and other respiratory conditions in Wisconsin. In 2018, 71 Wisconsinites died due to the chronic lung disease, with nearly 40% of those victims over the age of 65. A federal program connecting thousands of Wisconsinites to the internet is scheduled to run out of funding soon. The Affordable Connectivity Program provides free or low-cost internet to low-income households. In Wisconsin, nearly 420,000 people are enrolled in the program, which offers discounts of $30 to $75 a month on internet. However, the state's Public Service Commission says the program is likely to run out of money by this April, and there's no additional funding in sight. The program stopped accepting applications last Thursday. Those who may lose internet service with the end of the funding are advised to connect with internet services provided by many public libraries to find another program that can keep you connected to the internet. Helping Wisconsin agriculture by repairing rural roads, farmers around the state are encouraged to contact their local government officials to submit applications for the first round of grants for the state's Agricultural Road Improvement Program. The initiative created last June provides $150 million to fund projects improving rural roads. The submissions for repairs are aimed at improving and the transportation of farmers' products from the field and farm to processors. The first round of applications will distribute $50 million of the funding. More information on the Agricultural Roads Improvement Program can be found on the Wisconsin Department of Transportation website. Elected officials in Richland County should see an increase in their salary. Salaries were approved for the next term of the elected county clerk, county treasurer, and register of deeds in Richland County. By state statute, salaries must be determined before the first date nomination papers may be filed for candidacy. The Finance and Personnel Committee approved the salary scale for the 25 through 28 term to go from $67,883 in 2024 to a 25% increase by 2028. The salaries will be increased in increments of 13% in 2025 to $76,707, 5% in 2026 to $80,543, also 4% in 2027 to $83,764 for 2027, and a 3% increase in 2028. In other action, the committee approved the spending of up to $160,000 for the purchase of two squad cars and equipment for them for the Sheriff's Department. The cost to equip the additional cameras and radio equipment into the courthouse, which requires additional wiring and cabling within the courthouse from Strang Heating and Electric, not to exceed $10,672. The cost was budgeted within the cost of the radio tower project. And for the Richland County Ambulance Service to apply for and accept a federal grant of funds administered by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, or FEMA. Funds would be used to upgrade the communication system. If awarded, it would fund 95% of the project, with the ambulance service matching 5%. Treat your Valentine and support the Richland County Fairgrounds Improvement Committee at the same time tonight. The annual Sweetheart Steak Dinner, sponsored by Richland County Fairgrounds Committee, will be held from 5 until 8 tonight, or until sold out, at the Nazarene Outreach Center. The meal, priced at $15, includes an 8-ounce steak, baked potato, salad, bread, cheese and relishes, milk and coffee, and dessert. Carryouts will also be available. Funds raised will help improve the facilities at the Richland County Fairgrounds. Please note the change in location. The Richland County Fairgrounds Improvement Committee Sweetheart Steak Supper will be served at the Nazarene Outreach Center in Richland Center tonight.
Bailey Paint and Decorating reminds you the perfect color should be enjoyed for years to come. Extraordinarily durable Benjamin Moore paint and exterior stain ensure just that. Bailey Paint and Benjamin Moore know getting the right product is the secret to success. Bailey Paint and Decorating ensures you'll have the right color and products and offers the best paint you can buy in Benjamin Moore paint products. Bailey Paint and Decorating, Court Street, downtown Richland Center, your Benjamin Moore headquarters.
44 for a high today with a mix of sun and clouds. Rain and snow developing by late evening. Tonight becoming all snow overnight. Snow amounts ranging from around 1 inch in southern areas to 2 to 4 inches in the northern area. It looks like a low of around 28. Winter weather advisory for Vernon, Richland, and Sauk counties will take a hold around midnight tonight and go through 6 tomorrow morning. Tomorrow, 34 for a high. Friday, 28. Through the weekend, 27 for a high on Saturday, and Sunday, Sunday 36. Right now we're at 21 degrees.
Looking for the perfect love seat and sofa set? Well, A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet has you covered. For those that love the cool look of leather, but the long, warm feel for fabric, the Stoneland Reclining Sofa and Reclining Love Seat set delivers both with ease. Its high-performance padded faux leather is remarkably durable and easy to clean. Just the thing for family spaces. Not to mention fashion-forward flair. Shop the Valentine's Day sale now through February 17th, only at A-Plus Furniture and Mattress Outlet in downtown Richland Center.
Wilkinson Auctions is proud to present the Hillsboro Equipment Consignment Auction, Wednesday, February 14th at the Hillsboro Auction Yard. This auction includes multiple farm lines and tons of great equipment, including tractors, planters, grain drills, sprayers, grain trucks and trailers, combines and harvest equipment. This is a big auction with tons of quality farm equipment. The Hillsboro Equipment Consignment Auction, Wednesday, February 14th at the Hillsboro Auction Yard. More info at wilkinsonauctions.com.
Sports Time is sponsored by the Richland Hospital, specializing in rural health care since 1924, making a difference by caring, educating, and healing. And by the Homesteader Store, Southern Wisconsin's tractor experts. A look back at a busy high school sports night last night, and a win for the Badgers, Marquette, but a loss for the Bucks.
Richland Hospital was recently recognized with a 5-star rating for patient experience. Patients were surveyed by the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services on numerous aspects of their care experience, including how attentive their nurses were, the cleanliness of the facility, and how well they understood what their plan of care would be after they left the hospital. A 5-star rating is the highest score possible. Thank you, Richland area community, for trusting us with your care.
Last night, WIAA team sectional wrestling was held. A couple of locations in the area, River Valley hosted a Division II meet. Prairie du Chien won the opener against Belleville Monticello Nuglaris 54-19, and GET Merrill's Mindoro with a 37-26 win over Lodi. Prairie du Chien won the sectional final 49-27 over GET Merrill's Mindoro to advance to state. And at Fenimore last night, Aquinas ended the year for Iowa Grand Highlands team 40-28. Fenimore was a winner against Royal Winnewick Center 42-0, and Fenimore went on to win in the final 44-25 over Aquinas as Fenimore heads back to state in 2024 wrestling. Scholesburg logged a 67-42 win over Richland Center in area girls basketball last night. The Lady Miners never trailed on the way to a 45-17 halftime lead. The Hornets outscored their opponent in the second half and played much improved throughout, matching Scholesburg with 6 3-pointers. Richland Center was led in scoring by Ella Weiss with 12, and Carly Meaden had 11. Scholesburg was led by Olivia Brown with 19 points. Scholesburg won the JV game 36-17. Next action for the Hornets comes up on Thursday night against Platteville and facing Highland. That will be the next game for Scholesburg. In other girls basketball, Argyle Pecatonica over Lancaster 60-43. Cuba City 61-51 over Prairie du Chien. The Dodgeville girls with a win against Mineral Point 71-63. New Lisbon 51, Hillsboro 49. Lafarge Youth Initiative beat Viroqua 50-45. Royal 65, Cashton 47. Winnewick Center 41-33 over Nisita. Reedsburg 68, Mauston 38. Edgewood 80-28 over Baraboo. It was a win last night for Bangor over Brookwood 78-42. And Belmont 45, Barneveld 30. Boys basketball last night, Ithaca won a wild one. 2 overtimes. They defeated Kickapoo 78-71. Channing Brown had 29. Micah Salisbury 17. Sammy Clary 12. Arlen Walter had 25 for Kickapoo. Rye Gerke 18. It was Riverdale with a win against Boscobel last night, 66-56. Andre Tainter had 17. Carson Kenyon 15. Bevan Dennis 13. Caleb Tracy 11 for the Chieftains. Hunter Gunderson had 24 for Boscobel, and Tucker Schmidt-Cox with 16. It was Mineral Point 73-24 over Fenimore. Highland beat Lancaster 83-76. DeSoto 66 and Seneca 63. North Crawford beat Weston 56-38 last night. It was Garrett Granger with 8, Colton Newman 6, Trevor Westfall 6 for Weston last night in scoring. North Crawford holds on for the win, and Wazika Steuben edged Lafarge 55-54. It was Dodgeville 63, Blackhawk 34, Cuba City 62-49 over Iowa Grant. Darlington 65, Southwestern 48, and River Ridge 85, Benton 26. On the state of Wisconsin scene, senior Tyler Kolick hit a clutch three-pointer with 90 seconds left, and it was Marquette claiming a 78-72 win at Butler. Stephen Krall and A.J. Storr each contributed double-doubles as the Badgers broke their four-game losing streak at home against Ohio State. Wisconsin claimed the low-scoring game 62-54 last night. Coach Greg Gard talked about Chucky Hepburn's contributions.
I thought he was terrific defensively played. 39 minutes, you know, just the matchup with Thornton is what we, you know.
Education has certainly changed. You know, when you and I were going through, it was four-year college or nothing, basically, you know, and how things have changed to get maybe better workforce, and I guess that's the whole goal. I mean, we hear these wanted ads all the time, people wanting workers, and maybe it's a better way, a quicker way to find the students and kind of put them in those roles, Chuck.
Well, the youth apprenticeship program is considered a talent acquisition strategy for employers.
Okay.
And so what happens is you bring a student in, and you got to understand they're young, you know, and they're not fully polished, but they're not fully polished either. And so you get an opportunity as an employer to bring a student in on a part-time basis and find out if they're a good fit for you. The student that gets to do the same thing. They get to see, hey, is this business a good fit for me? And the beautiful thing is when you match somebody who's passionate and somebody who thinks that organization is a great fit and the organization thinks that student's a great fit. When I work with kids, it's basically to graduation. I help transition them to what I call year 13 or the year after graduation from secondary school. We hand them off to an employer. And hopefully now that plan continues on, that employment plan. So there's a lot of tough-to-fill positions out there, and you have to grow your own. You know, we start with that core skills or those base skills, but then the employer takes over. Like in auto tech, what we talked about. Well, these kids are coming in. They're just starting. They're at the base, you know. So then it's up to whoever hires them to come up with a strategy on how best to educate them. Where should they be going? Is that a good fit for the employer and the student, the worker? Basically, we're looking for high skill, high wage, high demand careers. And we want to keep local talent local. And so we want to keep these kids, if it means going to a four-year school, you know, that's great. If it means going to a two-year, if it means going into the military, it means it goes directly into the world of work, the skilled trades, whatever it is. And we're just so blessed to be a part of this.
We had the opportunity to have a young intern this fall. In fact, he's continued to work for us, Michael Hernan. And that's been just a real excellent opportunity for us here at WRCO.
Yeah, Michael's a part of our program, and well, you can speak to it firsthand then, Phil. I mean, what have you seen? I mean,
well, it's amazing because he's just a very talented young man. In fact, I just need to get out of the way, I think. But the thing that impresses me the most is I think we've learned as much from him as he's learned from us. I mean, it's just been a great opportunity. I think our staff would back that up. All the time they're saying to me, when's Michael coming back? You know, so they want to see him around here. He adds some energy when he's in the building.
Yeah, and we see that all the time, you know, and I know we're on the radio, but I can see your smile on your face right now. It's just a good feeling to mentor the next generation. And so that's what this is all about. If you look at the return on investment, you know, right away with any new employee, it's but if you're able to gain that long term, you know, it's just a great feeling. And if for some reason it doesn't work out and you don't have a position for him moving forward, or, you know, he's decided to do something else, you still have that relationship. You know, you have that bond with that person, and that never goes away.
Right. I think he's headed to Whitewater, if I'm not mistaken, next year. But, you know, yeah, hopefully we've got that line of communication where maybe we can pull him back to help us out once in a while, too.
So. And that happens all the time. And I have... two of my children went through the youth apprenticeship program, so I totally believe it. I walk the walk, talk to talk, you know. But what we find, if students are going off to a tour for your post-secondary, then it turns into internships, it turns into summer work opportunities, it turns into come back and work over Christmas break types of situations. Our employers, once they get a hold of our students, that they work with our students to maintain that. And it's all part of that strategy, keeping local talent local. My son, he worked all through high school with a local manufacturer, and they just kept him going through college. At college graduation time, you know, he and I talked about what his future was going to be, and I asked him if he was going to explore someplace else. He says, "No, Dad, I'm going to work for that company. I like them, they like me, you know, it's just a good fit." And yeah, he's finding that fit, you know, finding that passion, finding that joy. You know, life's a journey, and you have to find joy in the journey. And when I meet with large groups of students, I ask them, you know, do you want to be happy the rest of your life? Or, you know, and so what's going to make you happy? And explore that.
Your daughter, too, quite the story. In fact, she came here to job shadow a little bit, and she's gone on to do pretty well for herself.
Yeah, she got her start here, and she did the youth apprenticeship program in the Northwoods League, a couple of years up in Duluth and Eau Claire, because unfortunately Richland County doesn't have baseball. But now she's working for the Minnesota Twins in communications, and she's doing great. And she was, what allowed her was the jump start, you know, starting early. And she had a passion, and she was able to be quite successful. In fact, when she was hired, the Twins hired her, but it's Major League Baseball, you know. And she was the youngest employee in Major League Baseball when she was hired.
Oh, isn't that something? Mm-hmm. And she had worked through high school in the Northwoods League during that time, too.
Yeah, she worked through high school, did different internships through the college. She worked in college athletics as well, and was all part of her career plan. And the biggest advice I can give to parents and students out there right now is have a plan. You know, have some courageous conversations, and listen to what's in your heart, and think about that. And just don't grab some career because you think it's going to impress somebody. And when I meet with kids, that's the first thing I always have to get by. It's like, okay, you're telling me something, but is that what you really believe, or are you telling me that as an adult that you think I want to hear it? Have courageous conversations and find out what your career plan is. Within your school district, you have a school-based coordinator that's going to help you with that. You have a school counselor that's going to help you with that. You have a teacher that you trust. You know, talk to those people. And then, you know, if it's a fit, then our team can come in and help.
I've talked to a few over the years, too, that unfortunately were discouraged by their parents when they said, "I want to go and do this." And their parents told them, "There's no money in that." You know, I mean, that's unfortunate. Then later on in life, they kind of have regrets. Well, I should have maybe followed my heart, my passion.
Well, yeah, and that happened to, you know, us as well. But, you know, the thing I do guide, and maybe I do some of that as well, it's, you know, we're always looking for high skill, high demand, and high wage careers. We want people to be able to support themselves.
Right.
You know? And so if they're talking about something where maybe it isn't that, then we talk about, can you do that as a hobby?
Sure.
you know, and find a way to be in a high skill, high demand, high wage program, have a hobby, and then as a side, so to speak, and then grow your hobby into that business, and then get yourself to the point where you have a decision to make. Should I continue where I'm in a pathway that I like, or my hobby now, can I turn that into something? And we see that quite often. Kids these days are very entrepreneurial.
They are, and there are a lot of opportunities. Certainly, you know, sometimes we badmouth technology, but there are certainly a lot of opportunities there and jobs that weren't even possible even just a year or so ago, Chuck, it seems like.
Well, you make a great point there. We never talk about jobs anymore. We talk about pathways. Okay, with technology, with everything changing so fast, if somebody says, I want to be this, I'll say, oh, you want to be in healthcare. You want to be in the pathway. And so we get them exploring all the pathways because who knows where they're going to end up. You know, this position that I'm in right now didn't exist when I was in high school. You know, so it's, things change, you know.
Most definitely. We'll come back with a final word from Chuck Keller, CISA 3 here on WRCO's Morning Show. Chuck Keller is our guest from CISA 3. Chuck, you work with, you mentioned the schools. Maybe you can give a shout out to some of the schools that you work with.
Well, sure. So we have 31 schools in our CISA, in our region. And I work with the northern half. So all of the local schools in your area. So like Ithaca, you know, of course, Richland Center, you know, Ithaca. Ithaca X is the number one school in Southwest Wisconsin for participation rates. And so Monica Kirshner over there, 47% of eligible students actually participate in this program. Statewide average is about 6.5.
My goodness.
Yeah. And because you have support of the school district, it's their program. It's not, all I do is facilitate. I mean, it's the you know, Sarah Pluckerman down in
Riverdale,
you know, Rhonda Scotland over in basketball, Heidi Radels, Sherry Greffunder down in River Valley, Andy Niemeyer up in Weston, you know, and the list just goes on and on. You know, they do some really great things, and without them, without those people and the teachers in the schools developing the skills, industry-recognized certifications, all those types of things. You know, you just had River Valley Lauren on yesterday.
Yep. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, they're doing a really creative thing inside of their school district, an advanced manufacturing lab that's going to create specialized training or specific training in advanced manufacturing, high tech. And kids are going to go and receive this training, and they're going to work in industry, you know, learning the skills in this class and then applying them right in their schools, or excuse me, in the businesses. And that's going to be just a great thing, and we're just moving on with that.
And that's not just a River Valley thing, right?
No, not at all.
Shared by the area.
Yeah, just like I was talking about the auto tech, you know, a lot of schools can't have high tech, you know. I mean, they have certain things, but not a... Yeah, and so to get them to that point where they can get into industry, explore, where they have this base skills, and then finish off their training, you know, post-secondary. So all of our area schools will be able to attend this down in River Valley. So that's something that the school districts will be pushing out through CISA coordination. And I'd be amiss if I didn't speak about healthcare. The greater Richland area community has opened their arms to students in the healthcare. We're blessed that our participation rates in healthcare are some of the highest in the state. And it's because of places like Pine Valley, like Schmidt. There's places in Muscadet, in Spring Green, in all sorts of areas that open up their doors to our kids. And Southwest Tech does a great job of bringing the training to regionally instead of kids having to all go down to Fenimore. And so we partner with them, and so that's just great. Construction. We've seen a huge growth in construction But yeah, the manufacturing is where we're really we're partnering with a group called SWAG, which is a manufacturing group. In fact, Glenn over here at Rockwell Automation is one of the leaders of that, and there's been a disconnect in trying to place youth at manufacturers because there's a concern about 18-year-old and things like that. But once we communicate to manufacturers that state statutes allows youth apprentices to do things at 16 and 17 that normally kids can't, and they work through their internal processes, they found that this is another gateway for employers to gain that high-skilled worker. So we just try to get high skills into the kids, find their passion, get them trained up so they don't wander after graduation for so many years and then decide what they want to do. They've got that figured out and they're going.
Chuck Keller joining us from CESA 3 on The Morning Show.
You are listening to WRCE 1450 AM, W299 CD, Richland Center.